Henry VIII and Shakespeare reportedly ate what we're going to be talking about today, as did the convicts on the way to Australia. Why? Because it actually stops you from getting scurvy. What is it? It's samphire. I've got a whole box of it right here. It's salty. It's a kind of watery succulent, very well known in Europe, and it's slowly getting some recognition over here as well. Andrew French is, he believes, the largest producer of samphire in Australia. Andrew produces about 600 kilos a year on his property in Victoria, and he's with me now. Hi, Andrew.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm full to pussy's bow with samphire, though. I've been eating it all morning.
You're enjoying it?
Yeah, I've got a... Well, you'd send us a whole box, didn't you, via your seller here in Melbourne?
Our agent, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very,
just describe, because I'll put some photos on the website later, but just describe what it looks like.
It's similar to a thin bean. It's long and it's green. It's a succulent. So the juicy explosion when you bite it and the salty flavour is sort of what we're after. It grows, it's called sea asparagus. It grows up from the ground. It grows fairly quickly too, if it's grown right. And, called samphire.
How did you latch onto it?
We first got onto it about 5 years ago, and we decided it was a crop that suited us here to grow.
Now, you should tell people where you are in Victoria. Where you're in Snowy River country, aren't you?
Yeah, we're Snowy River Station. We're 9 properties that run from the high country in the mountains down to the river mouth. We've got the flat country opposite the Marlo Hotel, if you look over the Snowy River.
Now, that's good soil, isn't it, Andrew? That's good soil.
It's very, very good soil. It's floodplains that's been dragged off the top of the mountains for millions of years. So, you know, the topsoil down on the Snowy River Flats is, 30 foot deep.
So, 30 foot. So, do you need that kind of alluvial soil to grow samphire?
We find it grows very well in it. It will grow in a mud, but we're growing it in the sandy, ex-pasture soil that we're now growing samphire on. So, we do that for a number of reasons, to make it more accessible is the main reason. But that's we find it's growing very well, and we've developed methods to make it grow better. Every year we're growing a better and better crop. In the wild, it tends to get a fairly woody stem when it's out in the open in the wild, and the tip-to-plant ratio is probably only about 15% tip.
So how are you getting yours to stay so green and succulent?
Well, we're actually growing it and irrigating and controlling the water flow onto it. So we've got a floodgate and a series of canals that run through the property, and they go into minor canals, and then they're connected with drains that run through the samphire plots.
Right.
So we can actually hold water in, or we can catch the tides at the right time, or we can pump water into the system and store it there and then drain it.
And how saline can the water be, Andrew?
Well, the saltier, probably not the saltier the better, because it doesn't seem to grow in ocean, it grows in estuaries. So I presume it needs to be fairly a mix of salt and fresh. The water quality is what we're using from Snow River's very clean. There's no industry or major boating activities on the river. So at the moment, the entrance is open and the water's coming straight in out of the ocean.
Well, Andrew, I'll come back to you about your growing and where to for the market, but one of the people who's also involved in samphire in this country is Kate Brooksby, and Kate is a producer on Kangaroo Island in South Australia. Hi, Kate.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. You're a pickler, aren't you?
Yes, we pickle it and we also sell the samphire fresh.
Oh, you sell it fresh too. Do you harvest yourselves?
Yes, that involves myself and my business partner Sharon and I walking through the bushland with a pair of scissors and some bucket to harvest, yes.
So you really do it that manually intensively, do you?
We do. We're a much smaller producer than Andrew. We only produce probably about 100 kilo a year, so we're a boutique, more of a boutique little business. But here on Kangaroo Island, we've been really well received.
So you walk through the bush with your pair of scissors for what, 8 hours a day, trimming samphire?
Not 8 hours a day. We usually start pretty early in the day and head out early in the morning to harvest. And then we're able to send off to the restaurants on the island that are using samphire usually that same day what we've harvested, and then we can pickle that same day as well.
Wow. And just for those people wondering what's happening here, Kate, I must say the phone lines from Kangaroo Island aren't living up to the quality of the produce, can I say? But anyway, we can hear you, which is good. So pickling it, did you come up with this idea yourselves?
Ever since I was a child, samphire has been used by people here on Kangaroo Island. It's pickled and eaten on Kangaroo Island for a long time.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, we used to play in the areas that I'm now walking around and harvesting through, and we used to call it the pickle plant.
Right. Well, tell me, I'm going to ask Andrew this as well, Kate, but is samphire, I mean, I've talked about its European origins. Are those kind of species or varieties we're seeing in this country native to Australia?
Yes, the Sarsicornia quinctoria and the Sarsicornia blackiana are both native to Australia, and so therefore we're regulated by the Native Vegetation Council and the Department of Environment and Heritage.
So I take it the way you're speaking that not everyone can just exit their house into the bush with a pair of scissors.
No, even on the private property that I harvest from, which is my parents' farm, we have to liaise with the Native Vegetation Council.
Oh, that's good to hear. So there's obviously regulation and accountability when it comes to how much is being harvested, especially when you're talking about the wild, fresh samphire.
You can't go and just harvest it from... it grows around coastal areas, and we do have certain permits, bush food permits, to harvest from some of the ocean edges.
Yeah.
As I said, you have to have permits for that, and it's all very regulated.
Kay, what's your ratio of fresh versus pickled production?
We probably produce more pickled samphire, simply because we're on Kangaroo Island and it's a little bit tricky to deal with freight from here for us to Melbourne and things.
So into jars it goes, and I don't want to give away trade secrets, but is it hard to pickle?
I would say the more challenging part is the harvest, and it is very labour-intensive, as Andrew has mentioned, and also for myself, the snakes are a bit of an issue over here.
Right. So you need to be paid danger money loading on your jars of pickles.
That would be nice. That would be great.
You could put on the front of each jar, I risk this many, you know, limbs in my life against this many brown snakes to get you this pickled samphire. How far away do you sell?
We have sold samphire into Sydney and the pickled product into some restaurants in Sydney and up into Brisbane.
How do you like to eat it?
I think my favourite way is fresh.
Yeah.
I love to get some fresh samphire, drop it into a pot of boiling water just for a couple of minutes, drain that off, a bit of butter and a bit of cracked pepper, perfect with meat. And if you want to put it with some seafood, a bit of olive oil and lemon juice is lovely.
I can see it being the kind of the bedrock underneath a piece of fish.
Oh, it presents really lovely because it's a bright green, vibrant colour.
Yeah.
But the pickled is great with some cheese and crackers.
Well, see, the thing is all samphire salty?
There's different salt levels depending on, obviously, the salt content in the water that it's grown in.
Okay. So when you're picking the naturally occurring, I guess those salt levels will vary then, won't they?
We found that most of the chefs that use our samphire prefer the samphire sourced from our private farm near Murray's Lagoon on Kangaroo Island.
Oh, okay, because there's a regular source of salt and water going on there. Is that what's going on? Yeah.
And we do aid the growth of them with the samphire with some water as well.
Now, Kate, I'm going to probably just turn around what you've said about the recipe because it's short and sweet and very beautiful, and we'll put that on the website. But if you just joined us, we're talking about samphire, known as sea asparagus. There's been European traditions of eating this vegetable for, well, centuries, but we're just hooking into it now here in Australia. Kate's been producing a fresh harvest as well as pickling on her home island of Kangaroo Island. And also with us, as I mentioned before, is Andrew French, who claims to be the biggest samphire producer in the country. Andrew, that's a pretty big claim. You sure you are?
Well, I'd say myself and Kate are probably the only ones that are doing it properly. There'd be some other people out there poaching it, but
are there samphire poachers?
Yeah, people go out at night and do poach it. We've had some problems and loss of market, and I think Kate's had the same thing. And it's very dangerous if people purchase that product too, because especially if it's harvested around Sydney, there's a lot of toxic chemicals and stuff that could be taken up by the samphire that's held in the mud. So you'll find that Cape down there at Kangaroo Island and us here at the Snowy Rivers is all pristine country. So the soil's good here, the water's good, and that's why we're growing it here. But yeah, there is a problem with people poaching it.
Andrew, are you growing the native species?
Yes, we are, yeah.
So I take it in introducing samphire into this country, is it for the first time it's been introduced, or are you simply putting back what was once there?
Well, we're growing what occurs in a native form here too. But what we're doing is cultivating to get a better, more crispier, juicier crop. and we're trying to eliminate a lot of the wood that occurs in the wild growth. If we can get to that stage, then we can grow it evenly and we can grow it cleanly, then we can start to develop harvesting machines, and that way the price will come down a lot, because at the moment harvesting is the biggest problem.
Well, Kate's just talked about, you know, running through areas with a pair of scissors. How do you do it?
Well, basically in the same way. It's very labour intensive. It means crawling around in boggy country, and as she said earlier, there's a big snake problem down here as well as at her place. So it's a harsh environment, and also in cultivating and what we're doing, it's a harsh environment for any machinery.
Yeah.
Water pumps rust, everything seizes up, and it's very difficult to sort of get in access to this place, and this is why we've got this floodgate, so that we can actually drain our plots and dry them out at certain times of year when we want to work them.
And then approach them with caution, because, I mean, if you're harvesting now, and I think this is one of your seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, then you're also reaching peak snake time where you are too.
Yep, but we do try and keep our paddocks and plots clean, so we can see what's going on, and, we've removed any sort of, you know, wood or things that they're going to lie around in. So we're basically growing it in flat open paddocks that, you know, we basically try and see.
So they're like,
going on the ground.
They're like samphire paddies.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're samphire plots. They're basically laser leveled so the water can creep up them and recede back them evenly. If that doesn't occur, then you start creating erosion on your paddocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically, we've found the most economical way for us to put large volumes of water over the paddock is through flood irrigation. And if we have to catch the high tide and then pump a bit more in, then we can do that. Or else if we work it right, we've got our plots that now we can access and let the water in and out and hold it.
Now, I want to talk to you about your invention history, but that's in a moment. First, let's get to some samphire recipes, because you've actually given Bush Telegraph to sample a 3-kilo box.
Yeah.
So we've got a recipe from Kate that'll do some of it, but the rest of the kilos, how are we going to cook those?
Well, you can dice it up and throw it in with your scrambled eggs for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
You can throw it on a sandwich for lunch. Well, it goes perfectly with an hors d'oeuvre.
Andrew, I can't imagine sending my three children to school with samphire sticking out of their sandwiches. They'd be tarred and feathered.
Well, I've got a little bloke, and you know what little kids are like with their food habits.
Yeah.
And this little fella walks around the paddock with me, pulling it out of the paddock and eating it fresh. He loves it.
That's great.
And I also had a staff member that worked for us that only ate meat, potato, and drank Coca-Cola. We could never get this guy to eat any vegetables. And, he started tucking into the samphire and, loved it.
And he's now got the body of Adonis?
I don't know about that, but...
Right. But at least he won't get scurvy.
Well, it makes him feel a lot better, I think. It's getting a bit of green into him.
That's great. Andrew, where's your market at the moment for your product? Because if you're shifting 600 kilos, it must be going somewhere.
Yeah. Our agent in Melbourne is Michael Moderate, Fresh Growers. Up in Sydney, we're sending to Coolabah Salads at the Sydney markets, and in Brisbane where he sent to So Crisp at the market, St. Jensen's as well.
And then from there, from the wholesalers, it goes to the restaurants?
That goes out to, wholesalers send it to the restaurants or the providors, and we're also doing 100-gram punnets now. We're just starting to do them. So people will actually be able to buy it in Harris Farm markets in New South Wales, and Conway Fish and Clarion Bowls Fish in Melbourne, and anyone else that wants to stock it. We're trying to make it accessible to the public at a retail level. As I say, it is expensive and labour intensive at the moment. Hopefully in the next few years to come, that'll come down as more machinery and that can be developed to bring it in quicker.
Well, I'm eating it. I'm hoeing through this box you've given us, so thank you very much, and I'm feeling better already.
Well, yeah, and if you want to bake that with vegetables, you can sprinkle it on top of your veggies 10 minutes before you pull it out. Hors d'oeuvres, put a cracker with a bit of Philadelphia cheese and some Yarra Valley salmon caviar from down there in Melbourne on there with a bit of samphire. It presents well and looks beautiful too.
I bet it does. Andrew, we have to go. Stuff fish with it. That's a good idea.
You stuff a fish with it. You can do all sorts of things with it.
Now, look, we have to go, Andrew. We have to go. You have to stop talking now. But before you do, I just want to quickly mention to people that before samphire, you invented artificial snow that you could make above the temperature of 0 degrees.
Yeah, real snow. I did that in Threadbow in 1989. We started with a system called Blizzard Box. It turned into Polar Technologies, and it's used in indoor ski parks all around the world now, in Dubai and other parts of the world.
Well, see, if you're getting into those kind of moneyed areas with that kind of snow, now you've got your pathway for sapphire.
Yeah, well, I got out of that in 94, actually, but I'm doing a thing called magnetic gearing and turbine at the moment, mgt.com.au, which is a very, very efficient form of power transmission. And we actually sold some gears to NASA for some space stuff they want to use them for, because there's no touching parts.
Andrew, we're going to have to come and visit you. We've run out of time, but...
You can have a look at that on the website.
All right, we will. He's an inventor. He grows samphire. Kate Brooksby, happy pickling. Have a good harvest.
Thanks very much.
Good to talk to you. Kate's on Kangaroo Island, and that's Food on Friday. We'll put some photos up of samphire and us eating it, which will just be delightful for you to watch, won't it?